A lot of times, many Christians forget or are ignorant of who they really are, what belongs to them, and what they can do. There's no reason for a child of God to be oppressed of the devil. There's no reason. In other words, there's no reason for it. It shouldn't be. The devil cannot oppress you except with your permission. The only reason the devil can rule over any Christian is with his permission, with the permission of that Christian. Whether or not he does it consciously. The devil cannot destroy your business except with your permission. Can't destroy your home except with your permission. Can't destroy your finances except with your permission. He needs your permission. And if you find things going in a certain direction continually, you may have given the devil the permission to do it. Whether or not you knew about it makes no difference. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there are people who say, well, we never can tell what's going to happen. Nobody knows. It's simple. It's easy to say that so that we leave the responsibility to God and make God the scapegoat for all the things that happen. So we can blame someone who's bigger than us for what has happened to us. So well, you never know. You just never know. You just never know. So there are many Christians who live in fear. You just never know. Some others say, whatever will be, will be. If it's mine, it will come to me. If it's not mine, it will not come. No. 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 1,000 times no. There's a devil out there that has the responsibility to stop what belongs to you from coming to you. You got to know that. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to come out right. Just because you are nice, because sometimes you look at yourself and say, what have I done to deserve this thing? What have I done? I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't troubled anybody. I haven't done anything wrong to anybody. Why am I going through this? Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. In fact, some years ago, I remember a gentleman who said to his children, he warned them, said, look, don't be very good. Now, that's the warning he gave to his children. He said, don't be very good. Because bad things happen to good people. And truly, bad things do happen to good people. So many people wonder, that man was so nice. Why did that happen? Oh, that girl was so wonderful. Why did God allow it? They say, God allowed it. So that's the escapist mechanism. He says, God allowed it. If God doesn't allow it, it won't happen. God allowed it? God? What's God like? So, what is our responsibility in all of this? Does it mean that whatever happens has to do with God? It's God who allowed it or disallowed it? Anyway, you're still there? Take charge of your life. Are you listening to me? Take charge of your life. It's about time you took charge of your life. See, if you don't do something about your life, nothing may change. Your goodness will not change anything. Now, what does that mean, being good? Does it mean we should not be good? No. No, you ought to be good and nice and kind and wonderful. What I'm saying is, all of that will not bring the money in, will not stop the devil from oppressing you, will not get rid of the sickness or disease or infirmity, and will not stop poverty from attacking you. Are you hearing this? Somebody asked a question one time. Why is it that all the bad guys have all the good things and all the good guys have all the bad things? Well, that's being generic, really. It's not exactly so, but you know, it seems to be so. And then those of us who are enjoying life then look bad in the eyes of others. They think that, they can't be righteous. That's why everything is going on fine. That something's wrong with them. So they always think that we must be doing something wrong for nice things to be happening to us. Isn't it terrible that people believe that the devil is kind and helps his kids get all the good things, and God is wicked, and they have to beg him and fast and pray and cry? Sometimes they say 7 days fasting and prayer before you get your deliverance. Deliverance? Then why did Jesus come? 40 days fasting and praying to get a breakthrough. Through what? You see? So, question is, so why did Jesus come? What did he come to do? It's a question they have not been able to answer. Because they're ignorant of the Bible. Can we just read some portions of the Bible? Are you ready with me today? Yes. Do you have your Bible here? Yes. If you don't have a Bible here today, I feel sorry for you. Okay, so let's begin from Ephesians chapter number 1. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter number 1. Read from verse 15. Go ahead. I don't know what you're saying. Are you really reading? Okay. Wherefore I also, after I heard, is that what you're reading? Heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, this is a portion of the Bible you got to study for yourself. You understand? After service, find time to study these portions I'm going to be reading to you. Meditate on them and get to understand them for yourself. All right? Okay, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding, notice verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. That means which he demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. and had put all things, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Praise God. Amen. He says the power, his mighty power, directed toward us, is that power that raised him from the dead and set him at God's right hand. Not right hand side. God's right hand. Not right hand side. When you say, this is my right hand man, does that mean the man that is sitting on the right hand side of your chair? It means your man of authority. The man to whom you have vested authority. So when you say Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, it's not the same as saying seated at the right hand side of God. So they put God, Papa God, like this, Jesus to his right hand side, and the Holy Spirit like a dove flying over his head. Oh, that's wrong. Glory to God. God has only one body. Jesus is the express image of his person. So in heaven, you're not going to see Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. No, you see God in Jesus. On earth, he's in the church. Not in the building. In his people, his children. Didn't you just read it? Read verse 22 again. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Hallelujah. The fullness. He says the church of Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. Whew. Anyway, that's just one part. Let's read another part. Ready? Did you get anything from here? Yes. He says, Jesus is where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Glory to God. Wow. Hebrews chapter 2. How could I be afraid? Oh, my. Hebrews chapter 2. Are you there? Read verse 14. 1, 2, go. 14 into 15, all right? Read. Hallelujah. For as much then, verse 14, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might paralyze. That's the word that's translated destroy there. It doesn't mean to annihilate, it means to paralyze, to make ineffective. That through death he might paralyze him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Did you see that? He says, Jesus Christ, because we were partakers of flesh and blood, because we were human, he also became human. So that through death, he might make ineffective. He might make render powerless. The one that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver those who all their lifetime were in fear. They were in bondage because of the fear of death. Satan has been paralyzed. Come on here. You know, there are Christians who believe they need deliverance. You know, that the demon that is holding me is too powerful. Oh, I felt sorry for a gentleman. He said something to me. He said, Pastor Chris, I need deliverance. I said, you can deliver yourself. He said, no. He said, because nobody who was ever bound by the devil ever delivered himself in the scripture. Oh, I felt those tears well up in my eyes. Because he only knew a part of the truth and didn't know what Peter called the present truth. It's like somebody coming to say, the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria is Olusegun Obasanjo. Or he says the president of the United States is George Bush. That was true. It is no longer true. There is a present truth. You get it? So many Christians are living in the past truth, not in the present truth. It is true that nobody who was ever bound by the devil ever could deliver himself. That was true. But you know what? The present truth is that same devil has been paralyzed by Jesus and cannot hold anybody in bondage who proclaims the name of Jesus. You just walk out. He can't hold you back. You just walk out. You just walk out of his bondage. He can't hold you back. He can't stop you from coming out. The only way he can stop you is by lying to you that you are still in bondage. That's all. If you believe his lies, then you feel the bondage. Then you see the bondage. But Jesus said, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Didn't say the truth shall set you free. It shall make you free. You get it? There are too many who are under the whiplash of the devil, suffering so much for nothing, because they have been deceived with thinking that the old truth is still there. You know, a gentleman many years ago did an experiment with an insect. Put the insect in a sort of a bottle or a jar, and the insect kept trying to come out. He would jump up and hit the lid and fall back in, and kept trying to come out, jump and hit the lid, and then left it there for a long time until the insect was preconditioned to accepting that there was something there. Then it took off the lid. You know what the insect did? Kept jumping to that level and falling down. Jumping to that level and falling down. But the lid was gone. The insect didn't know the present truth. You get it? That's the way many Christians are. That's the way they are. Hallelujah. He has already delivered them from bondage, who were all their lifetime in that bondage because of the fear of death. Two things there. This is the first one. The other one that I wanted you to see was the part that we read earlier, where he says that he might destroy, that he became flesh and blood. He took part of the same, that he, through death, might paralyze, render powerless, render ineffective The one who had the power of death, that is the devil. He's defeated him. Jesus has defeated the devil. So the devil is defeated. Come on, say the devil is defeated. I'm not afraid of the devil. The devil is defeated. So he's not a factor in my life or in the circumstances of my life. Let me show you another thing. I hope we can we get this very quickly? Can we? All right. Now, Jesus said something. The two words that are frequently used in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament, translated word for us in the English version. All right? So in the English version, you will not know that there's any difference. Except in some particular versions that try to distinguish between them. These two words are aeon and cosmos. They both translated world. In some of the newer versions, aeon is translated age. Because aeon actually means a definite period of time, a system within a given period of time. A system. You see, aeon, this age. See, this order of things because of the age in which we live. So when we say, when you hear somebody say, we are in a new world, it doesn't mean that the earth has changed. It means this is a new age. So the Greek word for that word or age will be aeon. How do you spell that? A-I-O-N. Aeon. All right? Okay. The second word that's translated word is cosmos. Now, cosmos more particularly refers to the earth, the world, and its order of things, how the people are in the world and how they function in the world. All right? It is the more general word. Okay? How things are in the world, the nations in the world, the people in the world, the things in the world. All right? The circumstances of life, how things run in the world. And usually, the cosmos is dictated by the aeon, because the system of government decides how a nation will be like. Are you listening to me? So, to conquer a nation, what do you do? You've got to destroy the government. Okay? And then you gotta, if you want to change how that nation runs, you're gonna have to change the system. The system of government. Then you say, we are in a new regime, or this is a new administration. Therefore, someone can say, like Hitler said, they were starting another age in Germany many years ago. Are you there? Okay. Now, in St. John's Gospel, chapter number 12, in verse 31, can you read it for me? St. John, chapter 12, in verse 31. You found it? What does it say? Okay, what did he call the devil? The prince of this world. And the word there, the word that he used there is cosmos. Satan was the prince of the cosmos. He was in charge of the cosmos. Why? Because he was in charge of the aeon. He ran the aeon. He ran the system of this world. And Jesus also knew that Satan was the prince of the cosmos because he got it from Adam back in the garden. He got it from Adam. You remember that? So Jesus actually said that the devil was the prince of the cosmos. Everything. He was in charge. That's why in the temptation of Jesus, he said to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. And the Bible says he showed to Jesus the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. He showed them to him. He said, you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this because it's all committed to my hands. Now, if that had not been a bona fide temptation, it would have not worked. Jesus would have said, you're lying. It wasn't given to you. And Jesus didn't say that. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You get it? Okay. Now, can you go over? This is the 12th chapter, all right? Now, you know, for you Bible students, you can understand how that we talk about the victory of Jesus in three realms and then in three worlds. Okay? And we say he had to defeat the flesh, the world, and the devil. He defeated the flesh, all right, in his ability to subdue his flesh and obey God and do what God wanted him to do and not what the flesh wanted him to do. Even when he was hungry, all right, he didn't subdue himself to the devil or submit himself to the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So he stayed on God's word. Amen. Then he defeated the world because he worked over the system and didn't live his life according to the circumstances of this life. He ruled the world. Oh, come on here. He ruled the world. He decided what world he would live in. He decided how things would go with him. And he defeated the devil. Praise God. But watch this now. Turn to St. John chapter 16. You there? All right. Read for me verse 33. Did you see that? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Then we already read how that through his death, he paralyzed Satan. So he addressed Satan as the prince of this world. That's important for us to see. He was the prince of this world, this cosmos. And now Jesus says here, be of good cheer. As he progressed in his obedience to the Father, he proved it. Now he teaches them things in the kingdom of God. in that same 16th chapter, he unveils something about his name. He said, up till now, you have not prayed in my name. He said, but you're going to pray in my name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. As you study, he teaches on prayer. He reveals a lot of things. Don't forget, this is something that began with the 13th chapter, where the washing of feet, the apostles' feet, and then the teaching about asking and dominion. And then in chapter 15, where it was talking about, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Now he's teaching real powerful thoughts in the kingdom of God. And comes over to this chapter 16 and gives them this. And in chapter 17, he goes into a special prayer where he reveals a new thought about who we are and who he is. Something wonderful. Glory to God. And then by the 18th chapter, he's getting ready. He's getting ready. He's getting ready to die. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. So, Satan was the prince of the cosmos. Now, you come over into after the resurrection of Christ. Now, I'm talking about the present truth. Okay? Now the present truth. So, is Satan the prince of the cosmos? Not anymore. Jesus said, cheer up, I have overcome the cosmos. Hallelujah. I have overcome the cosmos. So the money that you need is no longer the property of the devil. Can you see that? The good things of life that you may want are no longer the property of the devil. They're not. You don't have to have them. It's a choice. Did you hear me? I mean, you don't have to have them. It's a choice. But it's good for you to at least know it belongs to you. Now, we didn't say everybody ought to walk in riches and affluence. Everybody may not walk in that, but it's a choice. It's a choice. At least you know. You could if you want to. How would you like to find out that from your house you could speak words that will change circumstances around the country as far as it concerns you? Now, I made up my mind a long time ago, as the Spirit of God was teaching me, that no matter what the country was like, I'll never be a victim of the system. There are too many people who are victims of the system. Doesn't matter what happens around me, I'll never be a victim of the system. I wish you understand this. You know, a lot of people are victims of the system. The system is so bad, and they are victims. You know, the reason the business gone bad is because things have gone bad and some people have mismanaged the economy. And so because they mismanaged the economy, look at my life. Now, that's not my testimony. I don't care if they want to mismanage everything. It will not affect me. Oh, yeah. Because, you see, my Papa God is so big. You can't make me poor. You can't take enough away to make me poor. See what I mean? But you see, the Holy Spirit had to teach me that. He had to teach me that. He said, don't complain like other people. Don't be a victim of the system. Triumph over the system. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm not a victim of the system. Glory to God. Doesn't matter what they do, I'll never be a victim. No wonder David said that God had made him a wonder. See, you be a wonder. Can you shout amen, somebody? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, why can't you complete your education? You know, when this happened, and then when that happened, and then when that happened, and then so this happened. So that's why I'm like this. Oh, really? So you are a victim of certain circumstances. I'll never be a victim. Yeah, I was rich. I had a lot of, my business was all over the country. Until, you know, something changed. And everything just went down since then. Somebody said, not me. Yeah. Glory to God. Jesus said, cheer up. I have overcome the cosmos. Cheer up. You're getting it, right? You're getting it. Huh? Yeah. I see it. It's moving in your spirit. Boy. It's like, Hallelujah. May you say that stores are emptying. You know, there's a group of shops. They're just emptying out and people aren't coming to buy. Things are just going down. You say, not me. Not me. I lay up gold as dust. I live in prosperity in the name of Jesus. You still there? This is so important. This. Turn the first epistle of St. John. 1 John. All right? Okay. 1 John in chapter number 5. Let's look at something there. You know that sometimes when you read newspapers or listen to the news, fear can get a hold of you. And you listen, everything's going down, this is happening, that is happening. You just wonder, oh God, where am I? And if you're not careful, if you don't think like that, you'd wonder, I hope I'm not deceiving myself. You know? Because the pressure is so much, the temptation to flow with the wind, with the tide. Did you ever hear of the jellyfish? Never able to swim against the current. Always in the direction of the stream. Praise God. Have you opened it? 1 John chapter 5. Read verse 4. 1, 2, go. Again. Yeah? Praise the Lord. He says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This. What is the victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to read it to you from another version, New Century Version. He says, because everyone who is a child of God conquers the world. Everyone who is a child of God conquers the world. Why? Because we are in the victory of Christ. He gave it to us. So we keep the world conquered. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He didn't overcome the world for himself. He overcame the world for me. So I have entered into his victory. And I keep the world conquered. How? By my faith. So my faith appropriates the victory of Christ that he got for me. I refuse to give that up. Oh, come on. He says, everyone who is a child of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. Our faith. Our faith. So when you see us demonstrating the life of faith, it is because this is the victory that overcomes the world. In the world, there's a lot of problems. A whole lot of problems. Health problems, you know. Financial problems. Lots of problems. Emotional problems. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith is the victory. Our faith is the victory. You can't chicken out for the devil and expect things to turn out right. So I say, oh God, please. 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 No, you think you're talking to a human being. You know, when you change your attitude, you very wicked man, you just come like this. I'm very sorry. Please. Please. You have another voice with which you talk to God. Very religious voice. Oh God. That doesn't work with God. Be yourself. It doesn't work with God. Be yourself. Say this with me. The prince of this world, has been paralyzed. Defeated. Amen.
Amen.
And I have taken over.
Did you know?
Did you know in the New Testament, over in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verse 4, Mando go brogazete. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 4, can you read for me? Verse 4, 1, 2, go. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ you shine unto them. So, the God of this world. I thought Jesus had died and had been buried and had been raised from the dead and ascended to heaven. How come? How come Paul calls Satan again the God of this world? No, he's the God of this age. The word is aeon. He's a God of this age. And we don't belong in his age. He's a God of this system. We don't belong in his system. He's lost control over the cosmos. He can only control the cosmos around those who believe not. That's why he has to blind them. So they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you see it? The light of the glorious gospel. Glorious gospel. Mine, oh my. I know there are, you know, there are a lot of God's people who think that in church, I mean, like you're listening now. If you're a first timer, I don't know, you may not be used to this kind of thing. How can the preacher be preaching and he just leave the pulpit? You know, they think you ought to stand there. And some others will wonder, how can they in a church? You know, because they're used to the preacher preaches and everybody goes, oh, forgive us. Oh. How can you be happy around God? They think something's wrong. Something's wrong. Oh, what is wrong? You are wrong. What do you think God is like? Let me show you something. You want to see it?
Yeah.
All right. 2 Corinthians. No, before I go to 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Let's start from there. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. You there? Okay. Okay. Read from verse 19. Can you seen it? One, two, go. Hallelujah. He says, to read, to bear witness. He wants it declared that God was in Christ. He wants the world to know. He wants everybody to know God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Reconciling the world of sinners, people, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. That's too big to swallow. God reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. He's not counting their sins against them. The soul that sinned, it shall die. That's why Jesus came. So that this time you can listen. That he is not mad at you because of your sin. God is not angry with you because of your sin. No matter how bad it is. He's saying, come, I'm not angry with you. Somebody paid for you. So don't die without God. Don't keep living your life in sin. Why? Someone paid the penalty for your sin. So God's not counting your sins against you. So he says, come, 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 come. He's calling. Come, come, come. No matter how bad, no matter how wayward you've been, come, come, come. He sees everybody the same. Because the same price was paid for everybody. Whether you only told a half lie or you killed 10 people. He's saying, come. He's not counting your sins against you. He's reaching out his love and saying, come, come, come. Somebody said, how can I come to God except I am clean first? No, he says, come. No matter how bad, come. This is the time to come. I'll give you life. Come. That's his call. That's what he sent us to tell the whole world. That's why it's called gospel. You mean I'm so bad. And you don't care that I'm so bad. I should come, come to God. Yes, come. Yes, come. You're not too dirty for God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away. So he says, come. When? Now. He says, when you hear that voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say next week. Because next week is not promised you. So come and come now. That's what he says. But you see, that's one side of the story. That's our word. The word that we take out to the whole world. To the sinners. He says, come. God wants you. God loves you. He's not asking you to clean up first before you come. Because you could never clean up. So he says, come. I'll clean you up. Praise the Lord. Amen. When I round up this message, every one of you who's not been born again, you need to come. You've got to answer that call. It's too important. Don't ignore it. You may have ignored it for so long, but not today. Not today. Not today. Don't ignore it today. Now, those of us who have been born again a long time, isn't that amazing that after we've come to Christ, we think that he's mad at us. He's not answering my prayer because I did something wrong. You know, sometimes we think that way. We feel like we wanted to pray. Now we can't pray. I have a score to settle with God. See, you believe you got a score to settle with God, so you... Hallelujah! You just remember. Then Satan says, even that second hand, take it down. Take it down. So take it down. You're trying to worship with happiness. Say, take it down. You know yourself. Then you are trying to sing. He says, you can't sing here. Shut up. After some time, it's not everybody that's crying in glory worship. Some are crying because God is so wonderful. Some are crying because, I'm sorry. And you would think that after that crime, it'll be all right. No, they don't have God talking to them. It's the devil. They cry. You're going home. He says, be going. There's no time to fellowship. Just go home. Because many don't understand how Satan operates. He is the frustrator. Understand his names in the Bible. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Have you found it? Yes. Glory to God. See, if Satan can frustrate you, rob you of your joy, he'll rob you of your effectiveness. All right. Read from verse 8. Read. While we were yet sinners. Listen. He says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. He's talking about the love of God. The greatness, the magnitude of the love of God. He says, God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not because we did something right. While we were still in sin, Christ died for us. He died for us not because we were good, but while we were evil, his love brought Christ to die for us. Now, he wants to send somebody to hell for not wearing a scarf. No. You see the thought of it. Because she didn't wear a scarf during prayer. Now somebody believes she's going to go to hell. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He so loved us while we were in sin. Christ died because we were so vulnerable to God. He sent Jesus Christ. Now he wants to send you to hell. So then, what makes a man go to heaven then? No. If because I told one lie before I entered this room. I told a lie at the gate there. Someone asked, where have you been? I said, I've been around and I just came. Then my conscience now, you have not been around. You have not been around. I say, oh God, forgive me. You have not been around. You just lied. That is, you just lied, and you're just coming to church. You are going to hell. All liars! All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Sulfur, brimstone. Hey! Are you there? You sure? Okay, we have not finished. You read verse 8. Read verse 9 and read verse 10. Go on. I don't know what you read. Read verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now being reconciled. If when we were God's enemies, it took the death of his son to bring us to him. He says, now that we are reconciled to him, we shall be saved by his life. No wonder the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Where is his life? Saved by his life. Not his life in heaven. His life in me. Remember, the subject of his discourse begins there in the fourth chapter and runs into the fifth chapter. So he opens it up. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are at one with God, at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, declared righteous by faith, we are at peace. Are you at peace?
Yes.
If you are at peace, then start using what you got. You said, devil, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off my money. There's no distance in the realm of the spirit. He'll hear you. He'll hear you. Take your hands off my money. In the name of Jesus. And don't go back and say, we don't know what's happening. No. Don't change what you said. Don't start talking defeat and hardship and all that kind of stuff. No, don't talk like that. Don't say, all these people are frustrating us. No, not me. Amen. Satan, take your hands off my money in the name of Jesus. I don't belong to your world. Don't forget, he's the God of this aeon, this system. You see it? So there's a monetary system in the world. And Satan, through his kids, run that system. Alright? So they can try to frustrate your money. But you're not under their system. Are you seeing this? Yeah. You're not under that system. That's why he said to give your tithes, because that connects the money you get from the world to the kingdom. That's why you give your first fruits, because he said, if the first fruit be holy, sanctified, removed and set apart for God, he says the lump is therefore what? Holy. So the angel of God comes in and says, devil, get out. Why? He says, this man tithes it. He tithes it on this money. You cannot touch it. Your tithe is that connection. Your first fruit is that connection. You bring him into partnership. You see that? Look at this. When they brought the sacrifices into the temple, once it got into the temple, nobody could touch it again. No, it's an amazing thing. Look at this. A man took his sacrifice. It could be in the form of gold or silver. It could be in form of even a living animal. He took a sheep. All right? A sheep to the priest. when he gave it to the priest, once the priest received it, he, that man, couldn't touch that thing anymore. He couldn't. It suddenly became God's sheep. An amazing thing. The gold became God's gold. What does that mean? It means the temple, the house of God, sanctified that gold. It sanctified that sacrifice. It sanctified it. Now, when you receive, you sanctify by giving God his tithe, giving God his first fruit. That sets you apart from the system of the world. So what destroys their money cannot destroy your money. What destroys their business cannot destroy your business. Plus that, he gives you wisdom that the world cannot fathom. He gives you wisdom. He gives you direction. Only the Spirit of God can tell you, do this way, when everybody knows, you get it? Everybody knows that doing it this way will certainly land you in failure, that this is the right way to do it. So everybody's doing it this way. And the Spirit of God says, do it this other way. And everybody raises their eyebrow. You're stupid. How can you go in that direction? And all of a sudden, everybody's going in this way, and bam, things go down. And you say, ooh, and you are still riding. And they can't understand why. Are you still there?
Yes.
Man, oh man. You getting it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got in my spirit. I got in my spirit. I received the word with my spirit. I receive the word with my spirit. Sondagirabahasti. I receive the word with my spirit. With my spirit. I'm what God says I am. I function with my spirit. Say it again, I function with my spirit.
I function with my spirit.
You know that's very important. You remember Adam and Eve? The Bible says they didn't have no clothes. They weren't covered by anything. Somebody said they were covered by the glory of God. Not necessarily. Why didn't they know that they were? When you say covered by the glory of God, do you think there was a light around them? No, that's not what you mean by the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's the presence of God. The presence of God is here, but you're not seeing no light. All right? So why did they not know that they were naked? The Bible says they didn't know they were naked. And physically, they were naked and not ashamed. How come they didn't know? And how come later on, when they did what God said not to do, they found out that they were naked? What happened? Because, you see, they functioned from their spirit. The Bible tells us that the voice of God came in the cool of the day. That's the way God used to visit them. He didn't visit them walking with man and man. You know, God walking like this and Adam moving beside him and shaking hands. Say, how you got now? And say, Adam, big power. You know, that's not what happened. The Bible says it was the voice of God. It says the voice of God came walking. The voice of God. So it had to be because God is a spirit and man is a spirit. So it had to be Adam functioning from his spirit and relating with the voice of God. My. You getting this stuff? The same way you relate with the voice of God when he talks to you. Sometimes the Spirit of God talks to you from outside you. And you hear that voice. Sometimes he talks to you from inside you. Because now he lives in you. You understand? But you relate with the voice. Not the shape of God in the form of God. Somebody says, how did God sound like? What does it look like? They want to know by this ear and with these eyes. These are the senses. But there's a spirit that recognizes God. Now, when man sinned against God, his spirit ceased to dominate him. His senses took over. And suddenly they said, and Adam and Eve, and God came again, the voice of God, Adam, where art thou? Hey. God said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, we can't come out, we are naked. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Yeah, ba, 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 ba. Hey, glory to God. I'm getting something. You know, David said, my heart indicted a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Are you getting something in your spirit? Somebody said, I'm broke. Who told you you're broke? Who told you? Who told you? Hallelujah. Who told you? Ah. Listen to him from your spirit. Relate to him from your spirit. Say, I'm functioning from my spirit. I cannot have diabetes. Because I function from my spirit. I cannot have sickle cell anemia. I function from my spirit. I cannot be broke. I function from my spirit. My business cannot fail. My finances cannot fail. Nothing about me can fail. I function from my spirit. I have the dominion. I walk in dominion. I walk in victory. I walk in prosperity. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Woo, glory to God. Hey. Man, oh man. Whoa, 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 glory. Hey. I got the life of God in me. Woo. I got prosperity working in my spirit. I'm a victor. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Oh, glory to God. Rejoice evermore.